Well, now, friends, it's a joy to be with you this evening again, and thank you so much for attending. I realize many are on holiday. I know that others have responsibilities elsewhere, some in open-air meetings and maybe perhaps going to Northfield tonight. But I'm glad you're here, and I trust that the Lord will bless us because we know that He's here. We know intellectually that He said that He would come, and where two or three are gathered together, He would be in the midst. But we pray that experientially we might know that this evening as He would speak to us and as He would lead us and guide us in our meditation in the Word. Let's just pray together before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we just praise You and thank You for the wonderful privilege that's ours to be able to call You our Father who art in heaven. There was a time when that was not the case. There was a time when we were of our father the devil. But Father, we thank You that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shone in, and we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we became the children of God. And what a privilege. But tonight, Father, we come and we're asking for the Holy Spirit's help as we would read Your word, as we would meditate upon it. We pray that He might do His own work, and that He might speak to us each one, but especially to any who may not be saved, that He might convince them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And Father, that as a result of our gathering this evening, small though it might be, that some soul will come to know Christ. That would be our heart's desire and prayer, that You would glorify Your name amongst us tonight, Father, by saving a precious soul and turning them from the broad way onto the narrow way, from the way to hell to the way to heaven, so that we might rejoice with the angels in a sinner repenting and coming to Christ. So hear our prayer, Lord, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turning to the book of Isaiah this evening, it's one of the largest, if not the largest, of the Old Testament books, apart from Psalms. But we're looking at this in chapter 45, if you'd turn there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 45, and we'll start reading at verse 20, and just read through to 25. Isaiah 45 and verse 20. God speaking, He said, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together that ye are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto the God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." May God bless that reading to His precious word. We're all glad to see the rain coming today, aren't we? Or was it last night it came after the long period or the relatively long period of drought and after the heat? I want to take you to a situation tonight where not just the rain came, but the snow came. And that's part of our story to open this evening. It was way back in 1849. There was a boy who was just 15 years of age, and he'd been brought up in a Christian home. And both his father and his grandfather were preachers, but he was not a Christian. That just reminds us that salvation doesn't run in the blood. It doesn't run in the family. And just because your father or mother saved doesn't mean that the family are saved. But this young man wasn't saved. And the good thing was that he knew he wasn't saved. And during the latter part of 1849, he was conscious that God was speaking to him. And he was concerned that he needed to get saved. So he determined that what he would do was he would visit a number of different churches. And surely in one of these churches, his problem would be solved and he would discover how to get saved. Well, it was on Sunday morning, the 6th of January, 1850. The young man had planned to visit a certain church, but as he was about to leave home, he realized that there had been a heavy snowstorm during the night. It was a heavy snowstorm and difficult to move about in. And because of the depth of the snow, he realized he wouldn't be able to get to the church that he had planned to go to. However, he was determined to go out to church. And with great difficulty, he made his way down a particular street. And when he saw a small primitive Methodist church there, and he said, I'm going to go there rather than go nowhere at all. And so he went into this little church and he sat onto the balcony. The young man discovered that because of the weather, there were just about a dozen people in the church. And the people inside were obviously a little bit on edge. And it was after a long delay, eventually the service began. The delay had been caused because the preacher was unable to get to the church that morning, and the people were trying to get someone to stand in his place. But let me read to you the young man's account of what actually happened from then on. And I quote this from his autobiography. He said, at last, a very thin man came to the pulpit. He opened the Bible and he read the words, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Just setting his eyes on me as if he knew me all by heart, he said, young man, you're in trouble. Well, sure enough, I was. He said, you'll never get out of your trouble unless you look away to Christ. And then, lifting up his hands, he cried out, as only a primitive Methodist could do, look, 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 it's only to look. The young man says, I at once saw the way of salvation. And oh, I did leap for joy in that moment. The snow came. God used the snow to direct him to this little Methodist church. And there he was challenged by the word of God, and he found Christ as a savior. Many of you will recognize that this young man was the famous preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And it's the text that God used and spoke to him through that I want us to think about this evening. Verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I'm convinced that there's not a person present here this evening whose desire and ambition is that when they leave this life, if they die, well, whether it be sooner or later, I'm sure their desire is that they will be in heaven. It's a certain fact that God wants you to be in heaven, dear friends. He wants you to get saved and join him in heaven. And God is well aware that if anyone does not get saved, they'll perish. They'll spend eternity in hell in a place of unrelenting torments day and night. But because God loves you, God's desire is that you should not perish in hell. God will of all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Peter says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it was for this very reason, in spite of man's rebellion against him, that God spoke through the patriarchs and through the prophets in the Old Testament times, but sadly, man paid no attention to them and persecuted them. And then, as an ultimate expression of his love for mankind, for you and for me, God spoke his last word to mankind by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to provide a way back to himself from the dark paths of sin so that none need perish. But sadly, in spite of the miracles which Jesus performed, and in spite of the messages that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, we saw this morning the people of his day would not accept him. They refused to listen to his message. They finished up crucifying him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. You know, the unfortunate thing is this, friends, that sadly there are many people today who have the same attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject him in spite of all that he has accomplished by dying on the cross of Calvary and resurrection from the tomb. And their philosophy for living is simply the same as the people of Jesus' day. We will not have the Lord in our lives. However, God has made a declaration. God says that the key for getting into his house, getting into heaven, is you must be saved. You must be born again. And the key to getting saved, dear friends, and not perishing, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing on him, and becoming a child of God. Why, many people have various ideas today about how we get to heaven. It's amazing the various ideas that there are. Some people think that, well, if you do the best you can, you'll get to heaven. Some people think that, well, everybody's doing what they can, and so long as they do well and they believe what they really believe and they believe it faithfully, that somehow or other they're all going to get to heaven. It's like climbing a mountain. We're all coming from different directions and we're all going to get there, and eventually God's going to be like a magnanimous old grandfather and he's going to look upon everybody with sympathy and with love. But you know, friends, that's a lie from the devil. So many people are depending upon things like that. But Jesus made it abundantly clear. He said, listen, I am not an alternative way to heaven. I am not an optional way to heaven. He said, I am the exclusive way to heaven. For no man comes to the Father unless he comes by me. So friend, tonight, if you're going to get to heaven, you have no alternative. You must come through the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the sole mediator between God and man. And in our text, in verse 22, we have this saying, it's confirmed for us. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved. I want to speak first of all about the source of salvation. Look unto me and be ye saved. I want to highlight for you, first of all, what the text does not say. What it doesn't say is this. It doesn't say, look to your church and be ye saved. It doesn't say, look to your baptism and be ye saved. It doesn't say, look to your confirmation and be ye saved. Or look to the sacraments and be ye saved. Look to your good works and your good life and be ye saved. No, no. That's not what the text says. The text is a very positive statement. It says, look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto a person. Who could that person be? Well, in this chapter, we're left in no doubt as to who is speaking and making this claim. In verses 5, 6, and 7, we see that it's the God of absolute sovereignty that's making the claim. In verse 18, we see it's the God of creation who's making the claim. And in verse 21, we see it's the God of salvation. He's a just God and a Savior. So the Savior of mankind cannot be Mary. The Savior of mankind cannot be Muhammad. For they don't qualify in these areas which I've just mentioned. In the New Testament, Paul teaches us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that's why when Peter, in referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, declared this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So the person who is the source of salvation and who exhorts us to look unto him to be saved is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom John writes, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. You see, Jesus is the God of salvation. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who allowed himself to endure the cross and to die. And to die the just for the unjust. And to open up a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. So the source of salvation is found in our text. And it's found exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he alone is the way of salvation. He alone is the way to the Father's house. He said it, I'm exclusively it. No man comes to the Father unless he comes by me. Have you come, friend? Maybe you're here tonight and you have been depending upon other things. Now, I don't want to be offensive, but I believe that one of the greatest deceits in our nation today is the deceit of babies being baptized. They're baptized and they hear this order of words. You become an inheritor of the kingdom of God. And you're baptized into the family of God. And I believe that there are a multitude of people today and they're depending upon that to get them to heaven. Listen, my friends, that will never get you to heaven. It's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will get you into heaven. And he makes it so very clear. There's not a variety of ways. There's one exclusive way. And that way is the source of salvation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the second thing I see in this text this evening is not just only the source of salvation, but I see the scope of salvation. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. My, so characteristic of God, isn't it? God's love is an awesome love. Remember when Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out and to preach that he was the source of salvation, they were to go into all the world, into every country and every culture, and preach to every creature that he was the means of salvation. And the reason why all the world was their parish was because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're not saved tonight, my friend, the fact of the matter is this, that you're still a sinner. And that sin in your life is separating between you and God. And sin is a universal problem because all without exception, all without distinction have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what this means is if you're not saved, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never accepted the gift of God's salvation, which Jesus purchased on the cross, you will die as you're living, and you'll die separated from God, and you'll perish in the place called hell. But you know, that's not the gospel news. That's just the background to the gospel news. Because the gospel is God's grace. And the God's grace states this, that in spite of your sin, God loves you. Now, he doesn't love your sin, friend, but he loves you personally. And in spite of your rebellion, God loves you. Whoever you are tonight, whatever you may have done, I want to assure you that you have not stepped out of the ambit of God's love. He doesn't love what you're doing, but he loves you and he doesn't want you to perish. And to that end, God has provided so great salvation that its blessings and its benefits extend to the ends of the earth. That's what our text says. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And its invitation goes out this evening to everyone across the world, and that includes everyone in St. Field Baptist Church here this evening. My dear friends, the invitation is there. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look to the Baptists. Don't look to this particular church or to anyone in it. But look away to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, because whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And because all have sinned, God in Jesus Christ has provided salvation, which is sufficient for all. Jesus tasted death for every man when he was on the cross. And if only you look away to him this evening, the source of salvation, you'll be saved. And that's the good news of the gospel from heaven. The source of salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the scope of salvation is to the ends of the earth. And therefore, it embraces you this evening, the invitation. If only you'll come to him, you'll be saved, friend. Saved from perishing. Saved from a wasted life and a lost eternity. So that's the two things we've got. First of all, the source of salvation. And we have the scope of God's salvation. But I want you to see a third thing, the simplicity of God's salvation. You see, God doesn't say that each one of us has got to earn our salvation. He doesn't say, I want you to go down to the south of Ireland and climb a mountain in your bare feet, as some people think they have to do. God doesn't say you must abuse yourself with ropes and chains to gain salvation, as the Muslims think they have to do. God doesn't say you've got to pay a certain amount of money into your church, or you've got to excel in giving to charities, and that will get you into heaven. God doesn't say that. God simply says all you've got to do is to look unto Jesus. Now, what do you think that actually means? Look unto Jesus. I was interested to learn that to look unto someone means to turn your face towards them. It doesn't mean to cast a casual glance. It doesn't mean just to give a token acknowledgement to them, but it means to turn yourself right around and face the object of your gaze. There are many examples in Scripture of this. An interesting biblical example was way back in the book of Exodus when Moses was speaking to Pharaoh. You remember how he was speaking to him about the plagues. And they were speaking together in the open air. But we read that Pharaoh turned himself and went into his house. In other words, there was a distinct, a deliberate, unambiguous change in the direction and the destination where Pharaoh was going. So what God is saying in our text is this, dear friends. You need to turn yourself from where you are. You need to turn yourself from what you are following. And you need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be gloriously saved. Now, in the New Testament, the word for that is repentance. It's repentance. And we read in Acts chapter 20 that Paul preached both publicly from house to house, and the theme of his preaching was that whoever the person was, if they were going to get saved, they had to be repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God. You see, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're facing Satan. You're facing the devil, and you're following him. And if you're going to get saved, there has to be that conscious, that deliberate turning around and leaving and change of vision and change a whole prospect in life. Isn't that what happened when Paul went to Thessalonica? He was only in the city 2 or 3 weeks, and they threw him out. But while he was there, there were some people who trusted Christ. And here's what he said about them when he wrote to them. He said, you turned to God from idols. You see, they were following idols. And they turned from their idols and they turned to God to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And that's exactly what it means to get saved, friends. You get your vision of what you're on at the moment and you turn round and you keep your eye upon Christ. A conscious, deliberate movement. And here we are, and that's getting saved. Maybe you're wondering to yourself, why do I need to turn? Why do I need to repent or look to Jesus? Well, let me say firstly, you need to repent because God says that you must turn to be saved. This implies that if you don't turn and repent, you'll be lost. And friend, if you're lost in spite of God's love for you, you'll perish in a lost eternity. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall perish. You see, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There's that word turned again. You see, we have turned in the way of self-satisfaction and following Satan. One of Satan's strategies is to keep you on that way, which through pride seems to be the right way for you, a way which satisfies your ego and your intellect. But Satan doesn't tell you the end of that way, you say, because the end of that way is death. Satan cannot ever promise you anything beyond the here and now, because he has nothing to offer you for the future. And the way of death does not mean that you're going to drop dead with a heart attack. It doesn't mean that you're going to be killed in an accident on the way home. It means that you become spiritually dead. It means that you're separated from God in outer darkness, where there'll be unrelenting weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. And that's why, if you're going to get saved, friend, like young Spurgeon was, as he sat in that primitive Methodist church, before he looked to the Lord Jesus, he was in trouble. And you're in trouble if you're not saved. But Jesus makes it very clear. If you have never looked to him, if you've never repented or turned around, you're still traveling through life on the broad way that leads to destruction. And that means you're traveling through life with your back towards God. You haven't turned towards him yet, you say.
You have your back towards him, and that's why you need to repent. That's why there needs to be that turning to God from the idols that you're following. And that's why we're still traveling through life on the broad road. My dear friends, if you would only turn to Christ and follow him, he'll save you from being lost. He'll not allow you to perish. And he'll take you to his Father's house and take you to heaven. But maybe you're saying to yourself now, well, I know all that to be true. I need to be saved. And I intend to go to heaven. I intend to be in heaven when I die. But when should I look to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved? Well, now, throughout Scripture, God's advice has always been, do it now. You'll never find an exhortation to get saved next week or to get saved next year. It's always now is the accepted time. And today is the day of salvation. You see, now is the only time you have any control over. The past is gone and you can't recover it. The future is uncertain and you may never experience it. And that's why now is the accepted time. Now is the important time. Now is the critical time for you to look away to the Lord Jesus Christ and get gloriously saved. And you know you don't want to perish. You know that you want to be in heaven. But the question is, what are you going to do about your dilemma? The answer comes loud and clear this evening. Look on to Jesus and be ye saved. And you know that you sincerely intend to get saved someday. But there is something in your life tonight that's stopping you. Maybe there's somebody, an association in your life, and they're keeping you back. Friend, I want to ask you. I want to ask you, is friendship with an individual or a group of individuals worth more than your soul? My, what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? I wonder, could it be that there's maybe a lodge or there's something else that's holding you back? A group of men, maybe it's work, maybe even at home, and you're holding back because you're afraid of that. I tell you, friend, it's an awful danger you're putting yourself in. And that's why the Savior said, he said, strive to get saved. That doesn't mean work as hard as you can to get saved. It means don't let anybody stand in your way. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive, don't let anyone obstruct you or stand in your way because you cannot presume upon the grace of God. The Scripture says, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. For this might be the last time that you'll ever hear his call. Remember we were talking about this morning? How God said to these people, if you want to be people of the light, believe in me. And when they refused and they willingly decided they wouldn't believe in him, it says two verses down the chapter that they could not believe in him because their time had come and they had missed their opportunity. That does really happen. Let me finish by telling you a little story that I know is true because a man called John McVicar, whom some of you will remember, a missionary from Peru. He was a member of our church in Port Stewart. And he knew the people involved, and he knew the vacuum man who the story's about. And I take it from John with all certainty. He told me about these two evangelists and having a gospel mission in North Antrim in a school. These two men had been preaching and they had been going around the district visiting home after home and encouraging people to come. And they noticed that during the mission there was this lady arrived and she had some children with her, but her husband never came. And so they went out one morning, they prayed about it, they went out and they wanted to go and see this man and they met this farmer on the road. They said to the farmer, sir, we're interested that you're not coming to the gospel meetings, your wife and your children are. And is there any reason? He said, there'd be no point in me coming. Well, they said, that's a strange thing to say. Surely salvation is for all people. He says, it's not for me. They said, what do you mean? He said, let me tell you what happened. He said about 20 years ago, there was meetings in that very school where you are. And he said, I was a young man and I was attending the meetings and I was interested in the things of God. And God was speaking to me. And he says, my uncle who owned a large farm in the area, he was unmarried. And he said to me, he says, John, I believe you're attending the meetings. I said, I was. He says, well, I want you to know, if you get caught up in this Christian thing, you're not going to get the farm. And he said, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Was I going to have the farm or was I going to get saved? He says, come with me. And he took these two preachers up into his farmyard. And he said, you see that spot there? That's the spot that I decided to choose the farm. And from that moment on, I've never been anxious about my soul or about salvation. It does happen, friend. God's Spirit does not always strive. I believe, as I quoted the little verse this morning, there's a place I know not where, a time I know not when, a place I know not where, that seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. And if you're not saved here tonight, friend, you be very careful. God has spoken to you on previous meetings in this church, maybe in tents and other missions, and you have been procrastinating. You be very careful. Because this might be the last time that you ever hear his call. He has provided the source of salvation. It's not of man. It's in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And he has provided the scope of salvation which is such that it can be preached with confidence to the ends of the earth. And it's a salvation that's so simple that you just have to turn from the things that you're occupied with now and turn to the Savior and you get gloriously saved. What's keeping you back, friend? Oh, I can't save you, beloved. I can't save you. This church can't save you. But if you would like to have a conversation afterwards, or if you're anxious, would like me to come home with you, whatever it is, oh, I would have a great delight in coming and talking to you further about the gospel. And seeing you saved by the grace of God through faith in the sole Savior of mankind, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's just